And there was a firefight!
Why did you judge me?
You killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law!
I see you are practiced in worshipping things that fly.
Hulkamania is running wild like it's never ran before.
It's over 9,000!
What?
Rise before Zod.
Bitches leave.
Kneel before Zod.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh?
Remember, there's always madness. Woohoo! Madness is the emergency exit.
Here it comes! A little going away present for you!
Very rare.
Except my Terminator 2 movie.
Edit for time. Review. Never for con- it's like a movie on TV. That's all.
And cursing. All right.
And cursing.
Is it going to be like the old rap albums where they just like blanked out every third word?
All the good lyrics.
Yeah.
See, that's what happens when you censor. You get a crappy version of a good rap album.
That reminds me, Nelly just played in India, I think. It was somewhere in India?
Furtado?
No, not Furtado, like Nelly, like, it's getting hot in here, take off all your clothes.
Oh, wow.
So he had to edit that song, so it was like, it's getting hot in here, so he didn't say anything.
What?
He didn't say
anything. Take off all your clothes?
He edited, like, the whole, yeah, because they're all fucking fully covered and shit. That'd be, like, disrespectful.
So keep on your Birkins.
Then why would you go there?
Yeah, why would you go?
Because he's
my number one song is about taking...
But why? I don't know.
Take off all your clothes in private.
Only in front of your husband or to bathe.
Yeah.
It's getting hot in this bathtub.
Best intro ever. Right. Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls, podcast episode 16. How is everybody?
We good? We are great.
We have the three amigos.
Top shape.
This time.
Back again,
finally.
Waiting on Lou, as usual.
Damn. Just lose the one with a life. I shouldn't.
Claws out.
Welcome back.
Well, on that note, I'm Tim.
Leander.
And I'm Lou.
And so life's been good, right? Has it? I don't know. Has it been good?
Well, I'll tell you what, Tim.
Tell me.
This week I finally got around to starting Saints Row 3 for the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm only 4 years behind the video game curve.
That's not bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be worse.
It could be worse. I mean, I guess I could be playing classic NES games
for the first time. Yeah.
So
that's the best.
Yeah.
There probably are NES games that you can play for the first time.
There's so many of them. I guarantee there is.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So is that consuming your whole...
No, I get like maybe an hour to play at night, and I'm just like, well, this is fun.
Does it make you sad that that's it? It's just an hour and then you're done?
Well, here's the thing. You gotta watch it, though, because I've never been much for like MMOs or... And like, I like the classic games, but not enough to like play them all the time. But the thing that really gets me is like console games where you're just like a dude and like just like story oriented, you know, games like that, like I can really get sucked into them. So I try to watch myself. I'm also a sucker for any game where you can completely customize your own character. Like I will play like, I don't know, Daisy's flower picking if I can like make my own guy look exactly how I want it to look.
Programmers, please make us Daisy's flower picking. And make it, like, really trippy and awesome.
Yeah, fully customizable.
The new Dragon Ball Xenoverse, you make your own character.
Oh, yeah, you made Jubilee.
Yeah, I made
That's
Jubilee.
Right.
Yeah, Jubilation League.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whoa.
I didn't think the world was ready for a Jubilee. Like, oh, what's Jubilee? But if I said Jubilation League, they'd probably get it.
So, I mean, I'd probably play it. At this point, I played every Saints Row, and I usually default to making, like, a jacked black dude with a huge afro and like dragon tattoos all over. Like, I basically make like black samurai.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That is your thing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's like my like inner
fantasy.
Like my
start growing the hair, Leander. Let's get some tats.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. I wonder what the psychologists would say. But like, okay.
You have to know Leander at least 4 more years, 5 more years before you can move in with him, though.
And we can move in together.
According to Leander. Dr. Leander.
That's true.
But that's for another day, I guess. Yeah. So video gaming is what you've been up to?
Yeah, a little bit.
How was your tour? We didn't talk about your tour.
No, right? We didn't talk about
it. Let's talk about
tour.
Your tour.
Yeah, that's right. Went on tour with the Evening River Band. So that was pretty cool. We did 6 shows. We went to Columbus, Ohio, Rockford, Illinois, Chicago, 2 shows in Chicago, back to Canton, Ohio, and then Arlington, Virginia. And then we played a show back home in Philly last weekend, which went pretty well. Pretty well. Good time. Met a lot of cool people. Saw some cool bands. Yeah, a good experience overall.
What was your favorite venue?
My favorite venue was probably in Rockford, Illinois. We played a house show, which is just like, you know, some guys who were into the local music scene there just had like a house space and they had bands play there. And it was cool because it's not a bar. It's just all about people who want to show up and see bands and really just come out for the music and aren't just there because, you know, it's a bar or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they were younger kids, but, you know, like early 20s or whatever, mostly for the crowd, but they were like super into it, just really nice to us. And, yeah, it was definitely a cool place to play. So
nice.
Very cool. And you have another show coming up.
Yes.
I'll do all your plugging for you.
Thanks. Thanks for the reminder.
April 17th, C. Lou with High Council.
That's right.
With Cheap Dinosaurs and Dudikoff.
That's right. Oh, and Dudikoff featuring Ryan Young, friend of the show, sometime guest of the show.
Sometimes full-on employee, right?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, April 17th, Red Dwarf Studios in Sewell, New Jersey. So
$8, kids.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, well, enough about me.
This is the
You like me now, you're like, oh, ooh, welcome back. Finally have time for us. Want to plug your tour? Jeez, mixed messages with you, man. It's hot and cold.
Yeah, you know, I got to keep it fresh.
Yeah, well, that's one word for it.
Oh, man.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I have my 5-year wedding anniversary coming up next week.
Nice. You guys are just about to be able to move in together.
Just about, by Dr. Leander standards.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. What do I do, Dr. Leander? What do I have to get her? Is something made out of, like, wood or something? Is 5-year, like, wood?
I believe 5 years is stack of comic books.
She's got a stack of comic books already. She doesn't read them.
That's awesome. If you get enough, it counts as wood.
There it is. I think you're kind of right, yes.
Yeah.
So that's all I got going on is just... And I'm going to have to do... I don't know. I'm going to have to go buy her something after this, I think, because I don't have any other time at all.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
If you have suggestions for what Tim should get his wife,
email them.
Or send the list to our P.O. box.
Yes.
Capes and Scows podcast at gmail.com.
Yeah. Let them know.
Mm-hmm.
And it will probably, by the time I read them, it'll be nearing my 6th anniversary, so yeah. I'll keep that in mind.
Probably.
Leander, what's up?
Huh? Me? Nothing.
You? Nothing. All right.
All right, moving on.
Well, that was easy.
Oh, what about the game we played? We played Celebrity Net Worth.
All right, that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
There's an online site, I guess.
Yeah, there's a website called CelebrityNetWorth.com. And, you know, if you have 5 minutes and nothing better to do with your time, you can... just try to take bets on what certain celebrities are worth, and then you search for them, and it tells you what people are worth.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a lot of unexpected stuff.
Yeah, weird numbers that don't seem to match sometimes, too.
Yeah, I think what the biggest one we saw president. Was... we looked up George Bush, both George Bushes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were only worth about $30 million, which doesn't seem accurate.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, it's pretty low.
Pretty low. I don't know if Celebrity Net Worth knows where all their money is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're accounting for everything.
Mm-hmm.
but they sure know about David Bowie's money.
Yeah, all about it.
I think he was the biggest number we saw.
Really?
Yeah,
Oprah David might have been bigger.
Who was Oprah? Oh, Oprah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. Oprah was by far.
I was going to say, good for you, Bowie, taking down Oprah.
No, not taking that. I forgot about Oprah. Yeah.
Nothing beats Oprah.
No, Oprah, like, the page couldn't even load. No. Like, the number was too big.
Too many zeros.
It crashed the server.
Too many zeros.
You broke the internet. You fools.
It's insane. Oprah. Yeah. Oprah's up there, man.
Yeah, she is. She's crazy.
Well, I guess we'll go into the news if you got nothing else.
Yeah.
But I'll plug our Facebook. We're on iTunes. I'm on Twitter. We're on all the podcasting apps. And, of course, Lou is on tour all the time. You can see Lou.
All the time.
All the time.
Yep.
You can go see Lou.
Oh, wait. Something major.
Oh, my God. Do it.
the newest cast member announced for the X-Men movie is Jubilee! She's officially in the movie.
Yay!
And I've already Facebook stalked the person who's going to play her and asked her to be on our podcast, so we'll see.
It's great because I was the one who told you. I texted you. Mm-hmm. I knew you were at work, and I texted you that with a picture of Jubilee, the character, and Jubilee, the actress, side by side. And you can tell when he's excited through his texting. It was really awesome. I was like, I feel like I've just made like an 8-year-old game like the best birthday present. Like that kind of excited. Like he was super excited.
Yeah, I was pretty
happy. Oh shit, Super Mario 3. Like,
yeah. So yeah, I think her name is like Lana Canador or something like that.
You know what her name is.
No one say anything. Keep going naturally.
Technically, I didn't complete it. Technically.
So,
you have to address it now.
Yeah, we do.
We were trying not to curse, and I knew I'd be the one to fail.
No, Tim was the only one trying. Leander naturally will not curse.
Right.
Tim has to try to curse, and I made no such concession.
And Lou's not going to curse, and he's a good man.
You can't keep a good man down.
Because he's a good man, so he won't even do it.
I won't do it, like, purposely.
For no reason.
But there'll be a reason. Yeah, it'll be an impassioned stand for free speech.
And we'll just edit that whole section out.
Nope. Don't believe in editing. Unless I'm cutting a Terminator 2 review or whatever it was you did.
Yes.
I only edit for time, not for content.
The Lost Terminator 2 trailer review by me from episode like 11 or something, which is lost to the sands of time.
It'll resurface. I have it separated. Like, it's still ready to go.
We should release it on vinyl.
What?
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. But anyways, the reason that we're not cussing is because there have been our really close fans of ours that said that we would love to, like, play your stuff publicly and just have it go loudly, but people would hear it, and then we can't have the cussing, unfortunately.
Hmm.
So, and there's certain platforms that Capes and Scowls will never be on because of cursing. So, we're just trying to try some new stuff. We'll see what happens.
We will fail give up by the end of this podcast.
What, you mean already failed?
I didn't finish the word.
Yeah, I guess
it was implied.
Our PR manager said we need to try this, so we're going to give it a shot.
Shout out to the PR manager.
Yes.
All right.
All right. News.
Sure. You know, if you just let me go to the news like we originally wanted to, this wouldn't have happened. You know her name. Jesus Christ. Anyways.
Does that
news.
Count?
No, you're good.
Oh, you can drop the JC.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah, buddy. Gosh darn, don't you know? When I try not to curse, I turn into the mother from Bobby's World.
Right. Or like Ned Flanders.
Oh, gosh.
Anywho, there is a lot of TV and movie news this week. There's just not a lot of big news because Marvel and DC are kind of hush-hush about their convergence and Secret Wars stuff for the most part. So there's just a million little things. We'll just blow through them because I don't care. All
right.
The one cool thing, and nobody knows if this is for real or not, was the announcement of the Deadpool movie's rating.
Oh, yeah. Right,
because
they announced
it on April Fool's Day, so everybody's like, oh, that's cool. But can we believe them?
Right.
Because it happened on April Fool's Day.
Of course.
Did you see the video that I am talking about? With Ryan Reynolds and Mario Lopez?
No, I haven't seen
that. Didn't see that.
All right, so Mario Lopez is interviewing, you know, not live in the studio, but he's interviewing Ryan Reynolds live via satellite, and Deadpool ends up, they're talking about the rating. He's like, I think it should be PG-13, you know, that's cool, it should be family friendly. He's like, I don't think this movie should be family friendly. Ryan Reynolds. And then a guy is walking around behind him as Deadpool, which I think was Ryan Reynolds. It was just actual a setup. And he walks behind him, then he comes back with a monitor, smashes Mario Lopez to death. And he says, no, 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 the movie's rated R. And then he says this little throwaway fourth wall breakdown thing. He said, don't worry, Jesse, Slater won't hurt you ever again. It was pretty cool. But, it was pretty cool, but, like, nobody knew if that was, like, an official announcement. And it was all hashtagged, like, April Pools and, like, stuff like that. And
of course, it's Deadpool. Perfect timing.
Right. So it was a great thing they did for from an advertising.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we don't know.
Still don't know.
Is that actually what it is? No one knows. But I'm excited for this movie. I think it could actually be pretty fun and pretty accurate.
Yeah, which is definitely see it.
You can get away with so much in a PG-13 now.
You can. You're allowed to say the F-bomb once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Expendables 3 was PG-13. I was like, how does that work?
Yeah.
But they, I don't know. I thought it was maybe the best one of them. The best Expendables.
I did not see 3.
3 is good. 3 is good. If you're into that franchise, and you take it for what it is.
If you're taking it for what it is.
Yeah. Which you have to, if you're seeing the movie, you're taking it for what it is. Right. That's just as a given. So yeah, go see 3 if you like the other ones. But yeah, they did PG-13 in that, and it was pretty darn violent.
Whoa! Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know,
Bobby? The movie was pretty violent there, don't you know?
In other casting news, the guy who plays Arrow, Stephen Amell, is cast as Casey Jones in the next Ninja Turtle movie.
Oh. Hmm.
Did the last Turtle movie do well enough to warrant a second Turtle
movie? Did it really?
I believe it made a lot of money when it first came out.
I didn't hear anything about it.
I didn't hear anyone who said they liked it.
Yeah.
No, I haven't either.
But maybe it did make a lot. That makes sense.
It made a lot of money. It probably appeals.
Sure.
Right, exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It probably appeals to a wider audience. Like, we don't hear about it because we're like these curmudgeons in a comic book store. Like, everyone hates it. Who goes in there? You know?
I guess that's true.
But he won the role because he had the best chemistry with Megan Fox. I'm like, I wouldn't be boasting about that. And it's strongly rumored that Bebop and Rocksteady will definitely be in it.
Yeah.
And possibly Krang and Dimension X, and just taking it as wacky as it actually does get in the comics and the cartoon.
Nice.
So it might be good. I still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I will eventually. It's
will
just
they
not
kill a turtle?
Maybe. There's, you know, after we did that story, there's a lot of talk that he's going to get revived somehow.
Yeah, like, well, Hakeem sent us a picture of Donatello being, like, bedside to Splinter.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know.
I don't know what that came
from.
Why don't we
clarify what we're talking about?
Well,
when you weren't
everyone
here.
Knows because they listened to the podcast that you weren't on.
Oh, whoops.
You were in Rockford, Illinois.
Yeah, where was I? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not here.
But you read that book, don't you?
Yeah, spoiler alert. I'm 20 issues behind, so.
So let's not talk about it. Everybody else
I already
knows.
I know now. I had customer phone calls asking for the book where Donatello dies.
Right.
And I was like, thanks a lot, lady! I'm behind!
That is the worst.
I don't have time to read 25 issues of Turtles. I get it. I keep getting it, and I will keep getting it, but it's at the bottom of the stack, okay? Let's be honest.
That's fine.
And my stack doesn't move very quickly.
Nope.
Especially when I got X-Force trades.
That's true. Mm. Very true. Mm. And let's see, other casting. They casted a new villain for Suicide Squad movie. And I'm going to butcher this guy's name.
Oh, boy.
I always butcher names. I am going to demolish this guy's name. I should just
do it slowly.
Well, now you built it up, so I want to hear this train wreck.
I'm
going to
try it. I'm trying to read my handwriting on top of this. Oh boy.
Sorry,
here we go.
Sorry, whoever you are, if you're listening.
Adewale Akinyo-Agbaze.
Oh, is that from Lost?
From Lost and from Thor and, yeah, that guy. How do you say it? Do you know? Because that would make me so happy
Wait,
now.
Which guy is it? I'm thinking of a different... yes, from Thor.
He's, yeah.
And he was Adebisi in an Oz.
Okay.
And he, Mr. But, Echo and Lost.
Sure. Can you tell me his name?
No, but I can visualize how it looks on the credits. But I know who it is. Yeah.
He's, yeah.
He's very good actor.
Who do you think he's going to play?
I don't
it's
know.
It's a Batman villain.
Oh, a Batman villain?
Mm-hmm.
Clayface.
That's a cool guess, but no. You want to take a guess?
We
like
good,
playing these
He would make a good Clayface.
Joker.
They already cast the Joker. Great guess, Lander.
Thanks for stopping by.
You mean what? You mean the Jared Leto casting we talked about on this podcast at least three times?
Yeah, do you even listen to the podcast that
you're
on?
You listen to me? Anywho,
I've
Dr.
Never
Leander.
Seen needier people in my entire life.
Oh my god.
So, AAA here is cast as...
AAA! As he's known now.
AAA is cast as Killer Croc.
Okay.
So that could be cool.
Yeah, that could be cool.
Might be. I like, there's that Brian Azzarello Joker book where Killer Croc just was like a big hulking dude and he was just this big black guy. And that's what this guy is. I hope they take that route and don't just like make up an effects and stuff because that was a really cool take and different take on Killer Croc. Mm-hmm. I really like that. So maybe that'll be it.
Probably.
Hopefully.
What they were heading for.
And they also casted Scott Eastwood as unconfirmed role. Probably going to be Steve Trevor, the love interest for Wonder Woman, and part of the whole Suicide Squad mythos.
Nice. And what's the Suicide Squad background again?
It's the Thunderbolts, just DC's version. It's the same thing.
What's the Thunderbolts again?
Oh my god, you read that book. You've reviewed that book.
I know.
You're the worst.
I'm
You're
trying to help
fired.
People who don't know what this is that we're talking about.
No, but they all know.
They don't know.
They don't know.
They all know how to pronounce that guy's name as well.
So, please tell the premise of these kind of books.
Suicide Squad is the villains are forced to go on crazy suicide missions, and if they don't do it, they blow their heads off kind of thing.
Okay.
So it's a team of villains going on these crazy missions.
Nice.
Whether or not Killer Croc is just there, or if he's actually one of the team members, who knows?
Is this now like Thunderbolts is superhero led? Is
yeah now one... it now it's superhero led,
right? But I mean, no, like a superhero team keeps them in check. Versus there's other team bad guy teams that the government keeps them in check. So which one's Suicide Squad?
Government.
Okay.
Everything's the government eventually.
Yeah.
Goes up the ladder.
Yeah, I think the government's more likely to be the guys who would blow off their heads if they did do something than a team of superheroes.
Yeah, good point.
More casting news. Arrow and Flash, their spinoff show that they're going to get, cast Arthur DeVille as Rip Hunter, which is not at all an important character ever. It's like a time-traveling character. The only reason that's important is he's a time-traveling character, which would set up, which would kind of fill in and go with what Flash is doing. And they also casted Ciara Renee as Hawkgirl. So Hawkgirl is now going to be in the Arrowverse. All these characters are showing
intense.
Up. Yeah, with Supergirl going to be in there with her own show soon, too.
Wow.
They've got a lot of characters to work with.
I've never seen the show.
They're okay.
Yeah, I'll have to watch it eventually.
You should. The Luke Cage Netflix project got a producer. Which I didn't write his name down, and I thought I did. But it's the guy who's the producer for Ray Donovan, which is on Showtime, and that show is awesome. And that's it for the casting news. I'm tired of casting. Literally this whole page.
There's a lot of casting.
And it's just like, get it out and we're done.
Yep.
Which is what I wanted.
Perfect.
For DC news, Batman Eternal, Futures End, and Earth 2, World's End, all wrapped up in the past week or the week before. And... it's really kind of dark and twisted, all the stuff that happened in these books. They're all set up to convergence, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
Batman Eternal, spoilers and things, basically just ended up with a big brawl at the end where Gotham pretty much saves itself. Like, Gordon shows up and like, the heroes unite with some of the townsfolk and they just beat the crap out of a bunch of the Court of Owl people.
Mm-hmm.
And a dude who kind of looks like Owlman, but I guess they didn't call him Owlman, and whatever.
When's Convergence supposed to happen?
Zero's already out.
Okay.
Zero came out this week as of this recording. So
what? Does that mean, when is the first actual issue of the true...
I think it comes out in a couple weeks.
Okay.
And then it runs for 8 issues. Every book that DC runs now gets a two issues, of, you know, like Batman Convergence for 2 months, and then it goes to whatever it's going to be.
After 2 months.
So if Batman remains Batman, which it probably will, it'll be Batman 42 or whatever, and go on from there. So DC's books are suspended for 2 months, they get Convergence titles, then they go back to what they were.
And they'll never be the same again.
Bum, bum, bum!
And it happens to coincide at the same time that Secret Wars is happening.
Yeah, so who did it first? I don't know. I feel like DC is more than likely the ones that were, like, already had a plan to do some of this stuff. Because they are constantly trying to keep track of this giant multiverse that they're so proud of.
I had one crazy, ridiculous prediction that would never happen, but I'm just going to say it.
Sure.
Because Lou believes everything I say, apparently.
He does.
At the end of Secret Wars.
Sure.
I'm going to assume there's going to be just one world afterwards, or is that one world already? I don't know. Anyways, at the end of Secret Wars, it's all, the dust is settled, all the characters are going to be there. There's going to be one character left over.
Batman.
Or Superman.
Batman or Superman.
I think it means Superman. Just chilling. In the Marvel U.
Yeah.
Just being crazy.
God, I hope that doesn't happen. And another spoiler, just to end on the future's end, one of the things that happened at the end that a lot of people were kind of, like, shocked about is the whole Batman Beyond side of it. Terry McGinnis from the cartoon, who's Batman Beyond, actually dies at the end of Future's End. The Tim Drake, which was Robin in our universe, becomes Batman Beyond. So when Batman Beyond number one comes out, at the end of Convergence, it's Tim Drake as him. And DC clarified that the Batman Beyond universe is still part of their multiverse. Terry McGinnis is still Batman Beyond in some other universe. Just in this storyline, which is confusing as heck.
Oh boy, that's complex. That's
a lot.
It's very complex. That's why I feel like DC had this planned all along, and Marvel's just like, hit the reboot.
Yeah.
Hit it. Please,
put on the boots.
Lobo co-creator Roger Slifer passed away. He died after he had been in a hit and run 2 years ago, and he had just kind of had complications from that and passed away. It's kind of sad. They never found the guy that hit and ran. Just sad. But that just happened on Monday. He created Lobo in a crummy comic called Omega Men. Then he kind of left DC, and then he went on actually to work at Sunbow Animation. So he's one of the guys that helped pioneer Gem and the Holograms and Transformers and things like that. So he kept that going after the fact of his DC tenure. So that's kind of sad, but, you know, news.
News.
And the last little bit of news I got for you. They're teasing that the X-Men team...
Oh, boy.
After Secret Wars will be an X-Men team the likes of you've never seen before.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
They're all Sentinels.
That would be great.
That would be awesome.
Professor S.
A Sentinel in a wheelchair. That's kind of awesome. It's a really big wheelchair.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. It's Master Mold. It's just Master like, Mold, that's how he gets around.
Yeah.
Well, we never saw that before.
No,
he doesn't have like the purple part of his helmet because he's bald.
Yeah. Oh man, good stuff.
We're gonna have to draw this up.
Yeah, let's do it.
Right. So they didn't announce anything, and they just said that.
They said a bunch of things that were confusing,
like?
And because they were so confusing, I said I don't even want to speculate
on
it.
One small confusion.
All right. Well, here's one thing that people were confused by. It almost sounded like the X-Men are going to be in their own little universe and world, separate of everything else.
Which is not surprising, because that's kind of way that we talked about that in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. The fact that the poster for Secret Wars had no mutants on it, and no something else was not on there either.
Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now. They've done this in the past with that Heroes Reborn storyline in what was it, late 90s or early 2000s? They took Thor, I think Iron Man, Captain America, and somebody else.
Onslaught.
Was it Fantastic Four?
Yeah, all the Fantastic Four.
They were all out of our universe for a little bit, and
people
hated it.
Mm-hmm.
People really didn't like it, by and large, so I'm surprised they're kind of going that route again.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it's like, hey, the X-Men don't exist. Right. In our universe, we're making movie money.
Which guarantees that it's going to all come back together again.
Oh, it's absolutely going to at some point.
It's so weird, though.
Yeah. Right, although fine. This is just speculation.
It is. Nothing is confirmed, and I'm sure...
You. Thank you for bringing us back down, Lou.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just, you know... And we can't let the train off the rails, you that's know. Right. The X-Men, maybe they're going away, but they'll be around.
Yeah.
It's somebody else's dimension. In Dimension X.
Is Wolverine alive again yet?
Oh, no, not yet. Not yet. Okay. They're planning the... Deadpool dies soon, though.
What?
Yes. Oh, yep, Deadpool dies, I think, next week. Anyways.
Spoiler again, I'm 30 issues behind on Deadpool.
We don't know.
You're why not, do I even buy comics? I don't
he's
read them.
Probably not going to die.
No, he's not going to die for another.
By the time you catch up to his death issue, he'll be back.
Oh, yeah.
So don't worry about it.
And I'll have 5 more titles.
Mm-hmm. You'll be fine. The last little bit of news is they've announced what the Avengers team is going to be for the all-new, all-different. They were kind of teasing it one at a time, mm-hmm. who was on the cover. The female Thor is still around. The Vision, Falcon version of Cap, Nova, Miss Marvel, Miles Morales, and an Iron Man. We don't know which Iron Man, but mm-hmm. it's a red and yellow classic armored style Iron Man.
Hmm. That works.
Yeah.
So, it's not terrible.
I feel like they didn't... Is this before the Secret Wars or after Secret Wars?
It's after.
Yeah.
I feel it will be after. But it's weird because there was an Avengers title scheduled to come out, and I don't know when that's supposed to come out. Remember that had Medusa and Doctor Strange and Ant-Man? Right. Everybody who was ever remotely on a show or movie. Deathlok. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
mm-hmm.
know whatever happened to that. I don't know what's going on, Marvel.
Marvel's weird.
It's all misdirection. None of this is happening, bro.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Phantom X got us.
It was a dream. That's good.
And they just reset it to like 1960s.
Yeah.
Just retell the old stories.
Mm. I did have a question for you, Tim.
Sure, I like answering those.
Secret Wars is coming.
It is.
You read off a list of books that are being canceled.
I did.
Were any of Remender's books touched?
Yes.
Really? Which ones?
Uncanny Avengers.
Was it on there?
Yeah, that was on there.
I don't remember hearing that one. I feel like Remender is like pissed off about this and refusing to be a part of it.
I don't know if anybody can refuse to be a part of it. I think it's like, oh, you like work?
Well, the X-Men's not in it, and Remender's doing that.
I don't think it's... I don't even know if Remender has any say. I don't know that he's the main writer on Secret Wars anyways. It might be...
Right, it's that guy.
I think it's between... I was thinking it was Jason Aaron. I could be wrong.
There's someone else you mentioned. Some other name.
Hickman.
Yeah.
It was Hickman.
Yep. See, I listened to Tim.
To that one thing that one time. Yeah. Thank God it was relevant.
Right, because most things you say.
Don't curse at Leander. Don't curse at Leander. Don't curse at Leander. Don't curse at Leander. All right.
Gosh,
so moving forward.
Gosh
darn it. All right.
Aneurysm.
Where are we at?
We're going to review books. Go, Leander, go.
What, me?
This is the book that Leander used to turn on his light switch earlier.
It was awesome.
All right, so...
As a collector of books, it pained me very much.
Like, watch him just flick that switch on. I was like, oh, you're going to review that one, huh? I think I see how this is going to go.
All right, so I'm going to review the Wolverines' one more time, because...
Also 20 issues behind on that. And it's only been out
I love
four
that
weeks.
Deadpool cover.
Wolverines is number 12. It's okay. It continues on to storyline. It's all right. It's a weekly. You do the best you can with it. But number 13 was awesome. Deadpool cover. The idea was that Deadpool hired someone from the Wolverines to go out and collect all of the Wolverines' stuff. And so in this issue, they finally collected every Wolverine-oriented thing that exists in the Marvel Universe. And so he decides he's going to be the new Wolverine. And so he dons, like, a mishmash of Wolverine's old outfits. Like, a normal mask with the patch over it and with, like, 2 different boots. And the jacket from one episode, but the pants from a whole different one. And it's actually really, I mean, it's really good. It's funny. It's almost kind of sentimental and deep at the same time. And it's just... I haven't read a Deadpool in, like, ages. And so, like, to actually read a Deadpool issue in the Wolverines was awesome. It cracked me up the entire time. But at the same time, you feel so sad for him. Like, you just want to hug him at the end of it. Like, oh, I am so sorry, Wade. I know you're going through some stuff. I don't know how to help you. I know it's so hard for you to deal with it. It's hilarious. It's awesome. So definitely pick up Wolverines as number 13. Wolverines is number 12, which is, like I said, a continuation of the storyline. It's okay. So, but I'm going to keep with it, because number 13 got me.
Got you back.
Yeah, got me back on number 13.
Yeah, every five issues. It's like every 5 years, you know?
Oh, gosh.
All right. Well, then I'll go.
All right.
Southern Cross, number one. It is an Image book, and it's from like a week or two ago, and we were going to review it, but we ran out of time, so we didn't review it. So, I'm going to review it now. It's by Becky Cloonan, and it is a space kind of story, which is, seems like all I ever buy anymore is space stories.
You can't go wrong with space stories.
I agree. I really like sci-fi, and this is a little deeper of a plot than your standard sci-fi. She is... the main character is going to go on a space shuttle to go to a planet called Titan to get her sister's remains. Her sister died. And it's not uncommon for people to die on this planet. They're pretty much draining the planet for fuel and things from inside the planet. And it's like, you know, you got the Titan lung. It's like that kind of thing. So everybody's like, oh, that's a shame. You know, you go on the shuttle. We're going to take you up there. But... she was an administrative. She wasn't like even working on the planet. It's very mysterious how her sister died, so she's kind of trying to get answers. You meet a lot of characters on the ship. It's like a big freighter, and it's just kind of like doubles, because it has to go up there anyway, so they take passengers. And her sister was actually on the ship at different points, and everybody knew her, so she's kind of starting to piece things together. She meets the captain. Some people are jerks. Other people are nice. And there's a really cool reveal at the end that I don't want to spoil. But I was liking it, and I'm like, okay, what's going to separate this apart? And you get to the last like couple panels, and you're like, that's pretty cool. So definitely check this book out. It's worth checking out, and hopefully it stays good.
Nice.
Moving forward.
Awesome. All right.
Go, Leander, go.
Wolverines is number 13. I need to go back to just for a second.
The Wolverines is...
There's one thing I want to add that you guys are going to make you want to buy this.
Is it the bird on his head?
So this is basically the intro. He's trying to recreate how Wolverine was created. So he tries to go through this whole process. The first thing he realizes, in order for me to be Wolverine, I have to fight a Hulk. you see him jumping through the window of the She-Hulk's lawyer's attorney's office because he wants to pick a fight with the She-Hulk, who's not having it. And then eventually he pisses her off just enough to like finally fight it out and duke it out. So
that's awesome.
Read it for the fight between Wolverine, Deadpool, and She-Hulk. It is awesome. Uncanny Avengers number 3. I'm not going to tell you much about this because I think you should just go read it for yourself. But basically... you do learn some secrets, potential secrets about Wanda and Quicksilver, that potentially that they were created and that they aren't even human at all. They were just created.
That sounds like something that might have been in a movie I saw.
Right.
You also get to have...
How convenient!
You get to also see, like, Vision having sex, which is really cool.
What?
In Vision's sex way.
I thought it was going to be this big open up splash panel in the middle of the book here, but it's just an advertisement for Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Or it's like when Bender reads porno, it's just like the fucking diagram of the circuits.
It's a good book. It's deep. If you liked Uncanny X-Force and that whole Remender run and how that's going, this will remind you exactly of that. So, go pick it up. Uncanny Avengers has been great since issue number one of the original number one, so keep reading it. Don't stop reading it. Even with the Secret Wars, demand it to come back again.
Cool.
Done.
Cool. Well, I have another book here. I got Avengers Ultron Forever number one. This is the one that they advertised on the little postcard that was up on the counter for months, and we're like, who is this, the black female Captain America? No idea. So, this is Captain America from a different timeline.
Of course.
That Jonathan Hickman created in an Avengers book that was largely just ignored. It was like a small little thing he did, and they never really talked about it again. It's a universe where Ultron won, essentially. And he's taken over some of the Avengers. There's Ultron Avengers, like, and what happens is Doctor Doom, which you find out probably isn't actually Doctor Doom, but it's someone in his costume, summons the heroes he wants from different times and brings them forward to try to fight Ultron.
Sure, fair.
The reason this is so much fun is because of the versions of the heroes he picks. From our current continuity, he takes Black Widow, and in the process of grabbing them through, like, this warp thing he does, he gets Vision, too, because that Widow and Vision were next to each other when it happened,
okay.
Which he didn't want Vision, because it's the son of Ultron kind of thing. So he was kind of PO'd that happened. He gets Thor from when it was, like, you know, the 400 issues where he was, like, with the beard, and
nice.
You got that, yeah. Thor. He also grabs female Thor, but it's female Thor from after Secret Wars.
What? Shut your mouth.
So she's like, oh, well, let me tell you about, and they're like, no. Don't tell me about it.
Oh,
you're
God,
gonna ruin the time
crazy.
Stream. And I was like, that's brilliant,
that
actually.
That's awesome.
So it's her, but from after whatever this event. She's like, let me tell you about this. No. Don't tell me.
That's
and
crazy,
I was like,
man.
No.
That's crazy.
But it was
cool.
So cool and simple.
That's really cool.
And then the Iron Man is actually Jim Rhodes from when he took over for Tony Stark during his drinking
nice. Uh-huh.
days.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
He's got like the roller skates in the boots and
no.
stuff. It's great. It's so great. There's a moment where he uses the roller skates and Vision's like, roller skates? Really? He's like, yeah, check this out. And he like, skates forward and blasts all this stuff and then he gets beat up. But and
good.
The Hulk
just
is
like
very
seventh
interesting.
Grade.
Yeah, just like seventh grade, all over again. The Hulk is actually super old school Hulk before he joins the Avengers. Real old school.
Okay.
So he's not dumb.
Right.
But he's not smart.
Right.
He just wants to Hulk smash a lot. But, like, he's not dumb. Like, Widow's like, hold on. Wait for it. Okay, now go Hulk smash. And the Captain America is from that future. It is Luke Cage's daughter grown up. So she's near indestructible like him,
okay.
But she has Cap's shield, and she controls it. It's, like, magnetized to her glove,
mm-hmm.
And she can kind of control it when she throws it.
Okay.
So they're recruited to go fight Ultron, and this was amazing, this book. And it will continue into a new Avengers Ultron Forever and some other, I think Uncanny Avengers Ultron Forever, and then it's done. It's just, it's kind of a fun story. They're kind of just doing it to be like, hey, you don't know anything about Ultron. Here's what Ultron is at his worst.
Right.
So, some spoilers for the book. Ultron took over everything. He also took over Asgard. He is sitting on the throne like Odin in Asgard. So the two Thors go to fight him. Thor, this version of... And see, here's the thing. You're talking about disrupting the time stream. This Thor meets real male Thor.
In that
future.
Uh-huh.
Who kills him. And he's like, oh, you thought you were going to die because she has your hammer? No, you're just not worthy anymore. And he's got, like, this big sword, and he just kills him. Three of these characters that are on this cover die by the end of the book.
Whoa.
And pretty awesomely, I think. So...
Alright. That's pretty impressive.
It was pretty cool. So I won't spoil everything, but
sure.
Definitely check this book out. It was pretty cool.
And who is the writer on that?
I don't know, because I got the variant and it don't have his name on the front. Al Ewing.
Who?
Yeah, that's right. And the penciler was Alan Davis. And
let's follow his
Mark
Twitter.
Fulton. There it is. We'll do it. But no, it was a really cool story. I just got it because I'm like, A, I want to know who the Captain America is, and I just thought it would be a fun thing to review. I figured all the stores across the country have those little postcard things. People might be wondering what it is. But this book was really cool. It ends on kind of a down note, and you're like, oh man, when does this next one come out? I have no idea. But definitely check it out. It'll go those three books, and it'll be done by the end.
Nice.
So it's a cool book.
Good work, Al Ewing.
Yeah, you done did.
Doing big stuff.
Yep.
All right, last review for me. Cowl, C-O-W-L is the name of this particular book. I got the trade, Volume 1, Principles of Power. Cowl stands for Chicago Organized Workers League. It's set up in like the 1940s, 50s, something like that. It's basically, I haven't read the entire thing. I really like it. It is basically a team of superheroes and non-superheroes that's kind of a city-ran organization. And they kind of are the detectives and the police force, or they assist the police force. But they're more like private, is the way it seems like. They're like a private organization. And it starts off with like them trying to take down this big villain, and they do, but mainly it's the girl that does it, and she has telekinesis, and so they blind her. The bad guy blinds her. The bad guy starts like killing massive amount of people, and she's the only one there that could potentially do anything about it. And she's like, I'm blind, just tell me where he is. And like, all right, 51 feet right there. She's like, okay, and then she closes her hand where his head would be, and she just smashes, he like closes her head. He like smashes her head in, his head in. And so he falls down, he's dead. So she is the savior of the city. Fast forward later, no one knows she's the hero of the city. They think all the guys did it, because she's the only girl on this entire team. So it's kind of like one of those, it sets up for the whole 1940s or sexist situations where she can't ever be seen as a superhero because she's a woman, you know, so right. She could never really be a superhero. And there's a big mystery that's going on because one of the team members finds a file that uncovers this dirty secret about Cowl, but you don't know what it is.
Now, this is a, because it's the 40s, this is a paper file.
Yes,
like in a manila folder.
Yes, in a manila folder. Wow. That's correct.
Paperclip on the side and everything.
Yeah. Wow. Yep. So he sees this because it was actually in the house of the villain from that they killed. So they went to his house to figure out where does he have other weapons? Is this part of something bigger? And turns out it is something bigger, and it has something to do with Cowl itself. So there's this detective character in Cowl that's basically trying to uncover and unravel Cowl to figure out what they're all about and what really is going down. So I only got 2-3 issues in. It's really good. I think there's actually some part of it's really funny. I just can't explain it because you have to read it for yourself. But yeah, I'm gonna read this one and I'm gonna try and sign up for the next trade and then also start trying to put it in my bin because I don't like this. Tim, can you explain the situation I'm in where I'm never gonna be able to catch up with this? I'm always gonna be off by a little bit because I want the next trade, but we're only like one issue away from the next trade coming out.
What you have to do is find where the next trade is going to end and sign it up for it in your bin from that point on. Don't read it until you get the second trade, and then you're good to go. That is the trick.
I think
you can't usually reorder back issues because everybody's doing smaller print runs because they're making a lot of money off of second and third and fourth printings, especially Marvel. That's the thing.
This is Image, thankfully.
So it's not as bad. Mm-hmm. But if it isn't like a huge, huge hit, you're not even going to get that second or third printing.
So here's what you got to do. You have to go to every comic book convention you can with a backpack and just get on your knees and start digging through unsorted back issues.
Yeah, get on your knees. We'll find that book for you.
Until, and you might take all day. Mm-hmm. You got to go
take
through
your
bin
time.
After bin after bin. Under people's tables.
Until you get what you need.
Until you get what you need. I'm like, I'm being serious. That's how...
He's completely right. That's how you find
that
book.
That's how back in the day...
You used to do it.
You had to put in the work. In the secondary market there.
Still going down that road. All right.
Sure are.
No, I'm not. This is y'all.
Y'all?
Y'all? Who are you?
Don't curse it, Lou. Don't curse it, Lou.
My name's Paul, and this is between y'all.
And that's Kyle Higgins' book, I think, right?
Yeah.
He got that one right after he finished up with Nightwing for DC. So a lot of people loved his DC run, you know, before it became Grayson and the Manny Raid and all that.
Oh, wow.
Which isn't him. So I have one more book. I thought it would be funny, and I was very wrong, to review a really crappy book from a long time ago, kind of in the spirit of April Fool's. So I picked a book from 1987 from DC. Called Outcasts, number one. Pretty much as a dare from Al at the comic book store, 30 North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey. This book is so bad, I pretty much just punked myself for reading.
Is that Gangbuster on the front?
I mean, I wish, at least that. I wish it was. This is like trying so hard to be like Judge Dredd meets all these other terrible dystopian society things where it's like you have your really, really. It's bad. It was really bad. And I thought it'd be funny, but I'm just like reading it like this, getting angry and angry, like this isn't funny for anyone.
No.
So the review of this book, and it's Outcasts, not Outcast the Kirkman book, Outcasts.
Yeah, please don't make that mistake, folks.
Right. This book is terrible. Under no circumstances should it ever be opened. Unless, I don't know, you're some sort of sadist.
Right. Well, I will say on the cover, there is a gentleman who appears to be like the heavy hitter of the group who has a very involved cannon for an arm that seems to be solely for the purpose of launching his fist on a rope.
Yep. Always one of my favorite
because if you're gonna go through the trouble of making the cannon, like, have it shoot something like all the way, man. It's like, all right, reel it back
and
in
multiple times.
Guys, wait, I shot my hand, but I have to reel it back in by hand.
Maybe it rockets back. I don't know. He didn't shoot his hand in this issue, and I'm not hunting down the other 11 issues.
Well, that's not fair, because on the cover, he is clearly shooting his hand on the rope.
No argument here.
Well, this is in good condition, though.
Mm. It ain't worth nothing.
Could this be the first
appearance?
I mean,
iZombie's a TV show.
Yeah, of something.
iZombie's a TV show. They got all sorts of characters.
But, like, it's written. Here's the thing.
Maybe hand-shooting guy is going to have his own book someday.
Maybe I'm being a little hard on this book, but I'm pretty accurate. Like, the writing was well done in the sense that there's a ton of dialogue, mm-hmm. and in this first issue, I feel like I know the whole world. Okay. I know that there's different classes. The rich just hide in these barricades, and it's like, we don't want like the evil mutant people, the scum of the streets, and they call them mutants.
Right.
And some of them do have powers.
So first mutants ever.
Maybe. Yeah. Except they've already existed for quite a few years at Marvel. But first DC mutants, right? It's just really bad. It's just super bad, and I thought it'd be funny, and it wasn't, so I apologize.
Aww.
But it's good to get that out there, because you might see this and be like, that's just so weird, let me try it.
Right.
Now you know, just like me, and you know not to do it. I mean, the guy with the rocket arm looks like a bad guy from, you remember Centurions? It was a cartoon?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And Brave Star, remember Brave Star?
Yes.
There's a character that looks like the bad guy from Brave. Like, I just feel like anything that was kind of on in animation in 1987 is a character in this book.
That's hilarious.
Like, it's dark, mm-hmm. but it's not good. And it's like, the idea is okay, but it's been done so much better in so many other things.
Right.
You know, it has like a Blade Runner with more freaky characters kind of feel, but it's not good at all. So. All
right. And he really does not shoot
so
his
close
hand.
Right there.
I know.
He's ready.
I looked through the whole book hoping that this guy is a nice man. Was gonna just shoot his arm at some guy, and he doesn't do it. That's fine.
So don't ever read Outcast number anything from DC.
Good advice.
I wonder how long it would be. We should research it, see how long it went on.
I think it's a 12 issue. It says 12 issue. Mm-hmm. Future shocker.
It says that, but
yeah, no, you're right. It could have been less. Well, that's all I got. All
right. Well, good show.
Good show.
Amanda really perked up when we got to the reviews. It was fun for me.
Yeah.
I hardly didn't need to not curse. Let me rephrase.
Yeah,
there's a cool sentence.
I only felt the need to curse a couple times, mm-hmm. and then I censored it. So I still hate you for making me do that, because you're an enemy to America and freedom.
Yes.
Right.
But it wasn't as hard as I thought.
There we go.
I had a really hard time.
You were fine. Okay. I wouldn't even notice that you had a hard time.
We should do a separate podcast where we just curse.
I said to Leander, as a good example, mm-hmm. Steve Austin, the wrestler, has a podcast, and it's all one numbering, but every other one is uncensored, and every other one is family friendly.
Oh, we should do that.
Yeah, it's not work for Tim. That sounds great. So, before any more cursing happens, thank you so much for listening to Capes and Scowls, episode
He's
number 16.
He's playing us off!
Thank you, have a great day!
You can't play us off.
We'll end there.
4th of July. No one told me.
Leave him alone.
What's she gonna do? Hit me with her diaper?
I'll show you, you overgrown trash can!